desire and interest in your prayers. We look into the Word this morning. I have been doing some wrestling myself because the Lord, the other night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, began giving me a message. So I pulled out my phone. I was sitting there texting myself as the Lord gave me this message. And yesterday and this morning, as we were looking into the Word, you want to sit up there and listen? Okay. Be real quiet. So we're wrestling a little bit because I wonder, Lord, is this what you'd have? And I felt like the Lord wanted me to put that on hold, what He gave me, and share this morning. You have dwelt long enough in this mount. I'd like to begin over in the 14th chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14, we'll begin reading with verse 13. This is a very familiar passage to you. But you remember when the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were in bondage, they were enslaved, and the Lord gave Moses a commission to go talk to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. They've been in captivity, they've been in slavery for a long time, and it was God's plan and His purpose to enable them to have freedom, to be able to leave Egypt. And so as you know the process and what happened, that finally the children of Israel left Egypt. They gathered up their bags, they packed their bags, and they left after the Passover. And it didn't take very long after leaving home before they got to the Red Sea. And they felt despondent, discouraged, because here we left because God told us to. And now we're facing the Red Sea, and who was behind it but the army? They were surrounded. They didn't know what to do, and they were disheartened. So I'd like to read to you what the Lord told them. Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see what? The salvation of the Lord. Now this isn't about what you can do for yourself. This is about what God can do for you. And I think about when we are up against, there's another song we sing, I'm not going to get it just right, but when you're up against the wall, when you're, yes, someone help me. What's it say? Yes. Yes. Manifested scheme. When you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fear, don't let the faith that you're standing in seem to disappear. Stand still when you look around, you don't see any way out, it's dark, Red Sea's in front of you, enemies behind you, and it seems like that you just feel like throwing your hands up. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. This is not about what you can do for yourself. This is about putting your trust in God, and He's going to see you through the battle. He went on to say then, and He will show you this day, for the Egyptians whom ye've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go, what? Forward. Now, how many times have you all read this passage? Have you ever taken note that he said here, the Egyptians that you've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever? The very thing that has enslaved you, the very thing that is behind you, and it seems like there's no way out of this, he said, let God do something. The Lord's going to save you this day, and that thing, your enemy, you're not going to see him anymore. The thing that has enslaved you, the thing that has held you in bondage, you're not going to see that thing anymore. Folks, there are things in people's lives this morning, the Lord wants to do a work that you won't ever go back to that place again. There are things in our life that the Lord is saying today, I want you to go forward. There is a time, folks, that we have battles to fight, all of us do. But we want to keep going forward. I want to next year, I want to be closer to God than I am this year. There are some things in my life right now that I want to see some greater victories in some areas. I want some greater peace in my life over some things. So I don't want to give up and say, well, that's just the way it's going to be. No, the Lord is saying, I'm going to work for you, but I want you to keep going forward. Moses, it's time to stop crying. You know the Lord understands our tears. Now I know sometimes the children, especially the boys when they're younger, and they get hurt and they're crying, it's man up. And parents, that's your responsibility. Quit being a baby about it. You're older than this. You gotta learn to get a grip on things. And again, I know sometimes, you know, you coddle children, but you can coddle them too much sometimes, and they grow up to be big babies. And they're still 40 and 50 years old. There is a time, folks, that tears come. There's a time for all of us that we shed tears in life. But I have found that even in my life, I'm 40 years old, in times of tears, there's a time the Lord comes along and says, dry it up, Michael. In other words, it's time to move forward. I've given you a space of time. I've given you time to express your fears. And I've given you time to look around. But the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying now? Go tell the people to go forward. I believe there are times in life. And if you're sitting there this morning saying, Brother Michael, but now's not the time and I can't handle it. The Lord gave the message for a reason. Maybe it's time you just go forward. Maybe it's time to recognize that God wants to do something in your life. Stand still and let God work. See, you have to stand still before you can go forward. The Lord had to open up the way. He wasn't talking about wading through the Red Sea and drowning. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I want you to dry it up. You know, I've given you time to cry. You know, the weeping may endure for the night. See? We all have some periods like that. And if you're in that time, it's all right. But be careful you're not feeling sorry for yourself now. Recognize there's a time to commit some things to God and go forward and say, Lord, I'm going to go forward trusting in You. And I'm not going to see those Egyptians again. I'm not going to go back. Folks, there are things in people's lives that we revisit over and over and over, and it's a hindrance to us. There are people, there are attitudes, there's unforgiveness, there's hurts of the past, there's past failures. Folks, there's a time that some weeping occurs, and the Lord understands that. It's why Jesus understood. He was acquainted with sorrow and grief. But there's also a place of victory in the Lord. And there comes a time in our life, He's saying, I've given you this span of time, now I want you to go forward. I don't want you to stay in this condition. I don't want you to stay bound to things of the past. I don't want to see those Egyptians anymore. You have some Egyptians in your life, been hanging around a while? The Lord doesn't want that to stay with you. Let's move forward. God made the way, folks, for them, and He's going to make the way for you. And this, I need to move along. But I want us to understand something. Do you remember how God made the way for them? How did He do it? How did he part the Red Sea? What did He physically do to enable that? He sent a wind. Can you imagine laying in your tent, fearful? I don't know what I'm going to do. I wish I could just go back to the way it used to be. Hey, wait, have y'all ever thought that? Let's go forward. You can't go back to the way it used to be. Okay? Cry your tears, and there's a time, it's time to move on. When Moses died, there was a time the Lord gave the people an opportunity to mourn. And then He said, all right, Moses is dead. Now it's time to get up and keep on going. I'm not going to give up serving God. I don't want to stay bound to the past. But He sent a wind, an east wind that He sent. And I can just imagine being in my tent. And the Red Sea's there and the army's behind me. And I'm thinking, what have I done? What have I done to my family? See, I was the one that left Egypt. Now my children are going to be killed. My wife's going to be killed. What have I done? And all of a sudden, a storm comes along. It adds insult to injury. Have you ever felt that way? All right now, I have. Yeah, Lord, this happened. Why? And this happened over here. Lord, what in the world is going on? And pretty soon you're there, and pretty soon a storm comes along. Lord, I could have chosen a better time for the storm. It was the wind that made the way. It was the east wind that opened up an avenue of escape. So, just as a side note, when the storm comes right in the middle of all your other problems, it might be the very thing that's your salvation. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses was speaking to the people here in this first chapter of Deuteronomy. And just a little background here, Moses was recounting in this chapter the dealings of the Lord, how God had dealt with them. He shared with the children of Israel. It was like a little summary. And if you have difficulty reading some of Exodus and Leviticus and it gets a little dry, going through Leviticus of the law and all of these things, Deuteronomy is kind of a book of summary. It's much easier reading. So if you want to just get a summary of what God did, read the book of Deuteronomy and you'll get some of the stories and you'll get some of the law with it. It's a little more palatable if you want kind of the cliff notes. Old Testament for dummies, maybe that's a bad expression. But you know those books? It's kind of the cliff note thing. Deuteronomy's a good thing. He put it in here for a reason. And that wasn't personal to anybody. Please understand. Anyway. Moses began to recount. And he talked about the dealings of God. And I want us to take note of a passage in the third verse. It said, it came to pass in the 40th year. Now, Moses gave this exhortation or summary about 1 month before he died. So it was at the end of Moses' life. He was giving this account, and a month later he passed away. It came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. Alright, so he begins to give a summary. In verse 5, he said, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare the law, saying, the Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount. Turn you and take your journey, and go to the mount of the Amorites, and under all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the vale, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto the Lebanon, unto the great river Euphrates. Behold, I set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. I want us to take note of what's going on here. The children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they were on a journey. And it took how long to get to Canaan? 40 years. How long of a journey should it have been? 3 days. What about in your life? There are some 3-day journeys, folks, that are taking us quite a few years. That's God's long suffering. He didn't cut them off. He didn't send them back to Egypt. Yeah, they were in the wilderness, but at least they weren't in Egypt. But there was a place that God had for them. And they went to the mount. And you have to understand, when we talk about the journey of the Israelites, it wasn't like they were traveling every day. They would make their encampments, and they might stay there for a year. So when they got to the mountain where God gave the law, and this is what Moses is speaking of, he came to the mountain, and the Lord gave the law unto us. And he's saying, do you remember this? Moses, in recounting, do you remember when God gave us the law? Do you know how long they stayed there where God gave them the law? A year. Check your history. They stayed there for 1 year, and they were establishing a whole new society. God was setting up, they were forming community. They were forming a legal system. They were forming a society that they could work. There were a lot of people. And so God gave them the law, and they were adapting because they had been under bondage. The Egyptians were telling them what to do. The Egyptians had told them how to live their life, and now all of a sudden they're on their own. And they needed structure in their society, so God began to give them it, and they were there for a year. And I want us to take note of something. God was with them. It wasn't like God had left them to their own devices. The Lord was with them in the same place. But there came a time, And that's the crux of the burden I have on my heart this morning. That the Lord came unto us saying, you have dwelt long enough in this mount. In other words, it wasn't that you were even disobedient, but it's time to move on. You're never going to get to the land that God has for you if you don't pack your bags and start on your journey. There are things in our life, folks. There are places that God has planned for all of us. God has some victories that He wants to give to all of us this morning. There are some territories spiritually that the Lord wants you to gain. And we can say, but the Lord has been blessing me right here. Folks, I'm glad and I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord on my life of yesterday and maybe even right now. But I want us to know that we are on a journey for the Lord. We are on a journey of spiritual growth, and I don't ever want to get to the place that say, well, I have spiritually arrived. Been a minister of the gospel now 20 years, and I have, actually 21 years. And I've been around the block, and Renee told me the other day, she said, you're not the new kid on the block. She said, you got the scars to prove it. Not real comforting, but it was true. But the fact of the matter is that that's life. I don't want to come to the place to say, well, you know, you've done this and that and you serve the Lord so long and now you can just wait for the Lord to come. Because I'm not going to have the blessings of God in my life unless I keep moving on for the Lord. And it's the same way in your life. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter what you've done for God. And I'm going to go a step further. It doesn't matter if you've been in Egypt. Maybe you just left Egypt. If you did, thank God for that. You're not in Egypt anymore. But there is land that God wants to give to you. And there comes a time that the Lord's been working right here, and the Lord says, you've dwelt long enough at this place. It's time for you to move on. It's time to go on. It's time to grow up. There are some people, folks, that they stay children. The Lord wants us to grow up, and the Lord wants us to go from victory to victory. But how long can we as a people, can we feast upon God's blessings of yesterday, 20 years ago? It encourages me to hear people talk about what God did for them 20 years ago. The Lord did some things for me 20 years ago. Do you want me to share with you? I would hope it would be an encouragement, but I want to tell you something. The Lord wants to do something for us today when we come together. And if all of our testimonies are only of what I read about in an old book somewhere, we're not any better than an old wax museum. We're has-beens. The Lord says, you dwelt long enough in this mount. I have some fresh healings, some fresh victories, some fresh anointing that I want to give you, some fresh fire. And I don't want to stand around and weep because of the glory of the past. The Lord has glory for us today. But sometimes, if we stay in the same place for so long, we lose the fire. The song services get dead. There's no inspiration. There's no inspiring testimonies. The preacher gets up and it just seems like, yeah, we've all heard that before. Same old, same old. No anointing, no inspiration. And you can blame the preacher, but maybe if you're listening, you know, your ears are dead. Maybe your spirit's dead. And we can go home and, okay, we've got work through the week and we have our families. And then we come to church because that's what we do. Serving the Lord is about a daily walk. It's about something that's alive, and the Lord's saying, maybe you don't have that fresh anointing in your life because you've dwelt long enough at this mountain. It doesn't mean the mountain was a bad place to be. I would have loved to have been there when God gave the law. I would have enjoyed that, the glory of it. But there came a time God Himself said, all right, it's time to move on. Because there's some land ahead of you I want to give to you. We can begin to stagnate. I want to qualify what I'm saying this morning. The Lord allows rest stops. I'm thankful for it. He gives us time to, sometimes we just need to stand still for a while. Sometimes we need some renewal. You go on a long trip. We were kind of laughing. My nephew drove through the night and he made 8 stops. I don't know. He stopped 8 times coming back here through the night, stopping quite frequently. But do you know what? The Lord allows some rest stops along the way. The Lord allows us spiritually sometimes, we can get spiritually tired. Been there. And we just need to just, can I put it in our words? Is that okay? We just need to chill a little bit. We need to just stop a little bit and seek the Lord from some renewal. And that's good. We need that, folks. But there comes a time He can come on and say, okay, we've given you some rest. You had a rest stop. But you know what? If you stay at a rest stop, you'll never get to your destination. So there's a time to stop, and there's a time the Lord comes along and says, okay, you've dwelt long enough here. It's time to go. Scripture says, woe unto them that are at ease. We can begin to stagnate. We can begin spiritually, and I will say as a body individually, we can begin to get comfortable with the problems in our life spiritually, because that's who we are. You know, it really doesn't matter. You all that live on farms, please understand me, and I understand to a certain extent, but the smells that go with farms, you know, especially the cows and the pigs and all of that. But you know what? To me, sometimes that doesn't smell real good. And to some of you, you pull up and say, oh, it's good to be home. You've been smelling it too long. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. It's all right on the farm. That's okay. It's all right. I think I can understand a little bit there, you know. But understand, spiritually speaking, I can have all of my problems and all of my failures, and I'm comfortable in them because this is who I am, and I'm so used to having a problem in this area of my life, I stop seeking God for the victory in that part of my life because it's been dirty so long that that's what I'm comfortable with. I don't understand people that live in filth. I can't understand it. Go in people's homes and it's dirty. You can't sit down. You can't touch anything. It's dirty. And it's like, how can they live like that? They've lived that way so long, they would be uncomfortable in a clean place. If people want to live that way, that's their business. I don't want to live that way. But spiritually, folks, I want to encourage us. We've been too long at this mountain. If we're used to, well, yes, I've got a problem that. What problems did you all have, those of you that are older, 30 years ago? 40 years ago? All right, now what about 10 years ago? Those of you that are younger, same problem. Yeah, I've been this way for 10 years. You've been too long at that mountain. We all have weaknesses in our personalities, but we can be growing. There are things in my life that I almost cringe a little bit. I think about it, it's like, ooh, I did that. And the Lord's helped me to grow. Am I all the way there? No, I'm not. But I don't want to stay right here. I want to keep growing. Y'all understand the message this morning? We've been too long at this mount. We can get used to having the same problems and same mistakes and same issues year after year after year. And the Lord's saying, you've been too long here. I want to mention a couple of things. I think about improvements even. Some of the places I've been, you know, you can go and I'll just give you an example. In Africa, in some of the places we are, their bathroom and shower facilities are minimal at best. And without hardly any money at all, with just a little bit of effort, you could drastically improve the situation. In my mind, I'm thinking, why don't you do that? Because that's what they've done for hundreds of years. It's worked. You know, we're still here. Why change? Spiritually, folks, there are things that we could change sometimes without a lot of effort. But we're just so used to this is who I am. And the Lord's saying, I have some more victories for you. There's some land that I want you to gain, and you're going to have to... The Lord's blessed you at the mountain. I blessed you there. But you need to move now. You need to grow up. There are areas, and I'll just touch on a couple without dwelling on it too much, but the mountain of unforgiveness. How long have you been at that mountain? Had any hurts in your life? Has everybody always treated you right? No. You know, the Lord gives a span of time.
He gives a span of time to cry our tears, but there comes a time. And I'm not saying in your life that this message is to tell you it's the time, but you'll know it when the Lord comes along. But don't ignore it. When the Lord comes along and says, don't be wrong, it's not now. It's time to give these things to me because I have some ground that I want you to gain. Folks, as long as we do not forgive those that have not done us right, we will not prosper very long. And it doesn't mean the Lord has just dropped us, because He'll still deal and work, and we can still feel some blessings, but we're not going to gain. We're not going to grow, and the end result is we're going to start losing ground. Mount of unforgiveness is something I find that too many people, year after year after year, are staying in the same spot. Mountain of carnality. You know what carnality is? Carnal refers to the flesh. We are to walk not after what? The flesh, but after the Spirit. There are some that have been too long at the mountain of carnality. Too long. And you say, but the Lord blessed me and I'm still acting that way, so it must be okay. No. The Lord's saying, you've been too long at this mountain. All of us have areas in our life that if you're a little bit impatient, I mean, some people when they say impatient, they're talking about blowing their top, and other people are just a word was a little too sharp. You know what I'm talking? Just a little bit, and we're saying, oh, I was impatient. I'm sorry. But you recognize, you can say, well, that's carnal. It's of the flesh. We're all human, but we're on a journey, and we need to be growing. And if we're beginning to excuse those areas in our life that are fleshly, we're going to begin to lose power with God. We've been too long at this mountain. Mountain of spiritual slothfulness. Just not really taking a lot of time or responsibility in our walk with God. There are so many mountains. There comes a time to move on. Didn't Paul teach us that? Forgetting those things that are behind. See, the mountain, I've dwelt long enough this mountain of past mistakes and past failures and past hurts and past sin. See, there's a time of repentance. There's a time to get forgiveness. There's a time of restitution. There's a time to clear it all up. And I'm going to tell you the message the Lord gave me at 2:00 in the morning the other night. And I'm going to probably preach, if the Lord gives it to me to preach here later, I'm going to preach it. But I'm going to tell you what it was. It was on confess. He was on confession. So on this thought of you dwelt long enough in this mountain, to be able to move on, we need to confess and take ownership for things that we have done in our life. We will never prosper until we confess. Heads up for future. But we've dwelt too long at this mountain sometimes. So in our lives, can you say that you've cleared everything with everybody? If you haven't, you've dwelt too long at this mountain. Clear it up, so you can start to grow. And then forget those things that are behind. Learn from it, but don't allow them to keep dragging you back to Egypt. No, you don't have to see those Egyptians anymore. You can move forward. My question here, where are you spiritually this morning? Let us go on, the Scripture says, to perfection. Let's go on. People doing the same things over and over and over. It's time to go on. It's time to put away childish things. You know, there was a time, we're about out of time now, but over in the 5th chapter of Hebrews, it talks about, you know, your children. You should have been teachers, but you're still carnal. You're still living too much after the flesh. You know, children, I appreciate. Vanessa's going to be in kindergarten this year. That's exciting for her. First year of school. And I'm excited for it too in some ways. But let me tell you something. After next year, if she's still excited about going back to kindergarten the second time, I'm going to start having some problems. Because I want her to move on. I don't want,
I'm excited for. This is something new. Kindergarten is new. But after you've been to kindergarten 5 years in a row, something's going to have to change. You understand? Let's get excited about first grade. And I don't want my sixth grader, I don't want him to say, oh, I want to go back to fourth grade. No, we were excited then for that progress. But now, you dwelt long enough in that mountain, you've had a year, now let's go on. If you have to repeat a year, repeat your year and learn it and then move on. But when it's been the same spiritual problem year after year after year, folks, it's time for us to grow up. And I know people can use that term carnally, just grow up. That's the carnal way of it. But the Lord is saying, I had some greater victory for you. You know, there's a time for young people when they're off on their own, or when they start leaving mom and dad, and it seems like they're still living after what I want. It's still all about me. You know, what I want. And then, if you get married and you start, or you buy a house and you start having responsibilities, start having some payments to make. All of a sudden, it better not be, at least, or you can get in trouble real fast. It's not all about me anymore. I've got some responsibilities now. It's I need to come home. My wife has dinner waiting on me. I can't just say, well, I was going to go to the store and then do this. No, brethren, listen, your wife makes dinner for you. Be there for it. And if you're not, give her plenty, ample time to make changes. But it's time to grow up. But I know a lot of old children today. They were children, they never learned to take responsibility. Folks, I want to encourage us this morning as well. Been too long at this mountain. You've dwelt long enough in this mountain. There's a time for us to take responsibility in the congregation. Who's supposed to clean the bathrooms? Who's supposed to pick up? Who's supposed to be here to call a song? Who's supposed to sing a special? Who's supposed to pray? Who's supposed to... Well, they are. Well, who's they? Well, Lord, is it time for me to maybe grow up a little bit and start taking responsibility? Start thinking that there's life outside of myself, and maybe there's time somewhere I could maybe go serve and at some sacrifice and expense of myself? You see where we need to grow up sometimes? We can't remain children spiritually. Times maybe we ought to be teaching, and we're still just needing milk. The Lord wants all of us to grow up. Take on responsibility. All right. We've been long enough at this mount. How fast do we grow? In Canaan land, was it acre by acre? This is reiteration now. It was step by step, little by little. So I'm not telling you that you got to get in a plane and do some fast traveling. But what I want to encourage us is in our life where we are today, the Lord's saying you've dwelt long enough in this mountain. I want you to grow up. I want you to gain some maturity, take on responsibility. I don't want you to see these Egyptians anymore. But there's a time to start growing and moving from where we are. I want to encourage us to do that, folks. This is God's battle. The Lord, in the 8th verse there that we read in the first chapter, said, the Lord said, I have set the land before thee. Go in and possess the land. Let's possess it. It's a journey. And every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that's the land the Lord's going to give us. But if I stay camped out underneath the mountain, say, well, the Lord was here. He was. But He said, it's been long enough. Let's grow. Will you grow with me? Will you grow with me? Dry up the tears. Let time to lay some things down. It's time to move forward and seek God for greater blessing, greater anointing, greater unity, and it comes through greater spiritual responsibility. Let the Lord go before us. Amen.